The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it is the 4th of February. Talking to you, it's on Monday, and it's the day after a couple of things. One was Super Bowl 53, which we'll talk a little bit about, and with our guest, Steve Johnson, with Hank Haney Golf, and find out what he thinks about. I'm always intrigued about Steve's thoughts on the coaching of what happened, because Steve is a coach and has coached a lot of great golfers, and has that mindset of what they didn't do right, countering this and all the other mind games that coaches go through. So we'll talk to Steve a little bit about that, as well as the game itself. And of course, on the PGA Tour, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, Ricky Fowler, the up and down roller coaster finish on that final round yesterday as well in Scottsdale, as well as some USGA issues and rulings and whatnot. That's going. Speaking of which, didn't involve the USGA, but Sergio Garcia getting in trouble over in I guess Dubai, Abu Dhabi,
Saudi Arabia.
There we go. For his actions on the golf course, on the greens. And so a lot of stuff to talk about. So much activity over the weekends in the world of sports. We're going to jump into it. Frank Bassett, as always, joined us from the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank? It was just a boring weekend, wasn't it?
It was terribly boring. I have a physical today at 1:15. Who schedules a physical after the Super Bowl?
Come on. You don't want a good result, do you? Yeah, they're going to say, yeah, Frank, nothing's looking good.
You got to quit drinking.
All your numbers are down.
Fatty foods. Hey, but before we get started, guys, by the way, a friend of ours, we know her, we know he, Mr. Dye and Mrs. Dye, Pete and Alice. Condolences to the family. Alice Dye passed away, and what a great lady, a cool person to be around. Very golf knowledgeable person. I mean, incredible just to sit and talk to her. So sad about that. Really sad about Alice passing. So, condolences to the family.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be talking about that on the. I mean, a big impact, a lot bigger than people think.
Yes.
That she had, along with her husband, a lot of input into what her husband did in the last 60-70 years almost. Yeah. So good thought there. Good thought. Steve Johnson, as we mentioned, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf, joins us here again today. And Steve, let's start with the golf tournament. Because I know we want to get into a little bit of Super Bowl, too. How do you not? But the Waste Management Phoenix Open, Ricky Fowler goes in with a 54-hole lead. And most of the conversation was about the fact that Ricky can't hang on to a lead. And he's done this before, and he's been here, and couldn't hang on. Last year had the 54-hole lead, couldn't hang on. And sure enough, after having a five-shot lead, going to the back nine, and everything looking fine and good and great, the wheels started to come off again. What were you thinking yesterday? And what is your impression of Ricky in general? Is there a reason that Ricky has trouble with 54-hole leads or the back nine when he has a lead going into the final round of a tournament?
You know, Tim, I've really been critical of Ricky Fowler. Just the fact that it looks like his motivation is not, in the past, has not been to win tournaments, but to be a media icon. Look at me, look at me. Look at what I'm wearing. Look at what I'm doing. Look at all during the breaks and the broadcast. Look at all these commercials I'm on. But I'm telling you what, he showed me something yesterday, man. He showed me a lot of perseverance. He showed me a lot of character. He, as usual, he says it, you know, he speaks from the heart. He probably said a few things that he probably shouldn't have said, that he would never, you know, he doesn't want to have to win like that again. Well, hey, you know what? A champion says, I don't care how I win. I'll go to the mat like that every time if you promise me a W at the end of it. So I'm not sure if the floodgates are going to open for Ricky. I predicted him as the winner of the first major this year, by the way, the only one in SiriusXM PGA Tour predictors that
really.
I'm the only one that went out.
I did not hear
Ricky
that.
Fowler. But you know what? I believe in Butch Harmon. And by the way, he had two victories this week: Dustin Johnson and Saudi Arabia. And Ricky. But Butch Harmon said last week, he said, you know what? I'm a believer in Ricky Fowler. They've been working hard. He says he will win a major. And so I'm going with Butch. How can you not go with Butch? Come on.
You're right about that. Yeah. But since you brought up Saudi Arabia and the anger management classes that the European Tour is going to banish Sergio Garcia to, my gosh, what in the world went through? You said it earlier in pre-show. He gets married. He's a changed man. He has a green jacket. What do you think the boys in Augusta watching that tournament thought when they saw him go crazy in that bunker?
Well, you know, no one can find any type of video of him damaging these greens.
And yeah, I haven't seen anything
I didn't see him slamming his club in the bunker either. I thought that would be all over the internet.
It was. It's out there, yeah. He went nuts in the bunker. I mean, not slamming it one time, but like six or seven times.
I mean, what's wrong with the Spaniards anyway?
Here we go. A whole country.
No. I'm serious.
Well, we lose that market.
That could have very easily been John Rahm. And you look at those guys and you think, what a couple spoiled babies that you got Ricky Fowler over there. The ball is moving when he's 20 yards away from it, gets another penalty. He doesn't say a word. And can you imagine if John Rahm, that would happen to John Rahm?
The bag would have gone in the water.
Do the mothers not hold these guys when they're infants or something? What's the deal?
If I was Ricky, I would run after that ball and dove in to try to stop it from going back into the water. And so let's ask about that too, because that was an integral part of Ricky's near collapse, 5-shot lead at the same time that all number 11 for Ricky, Grace is birdie in a hole, so that the gap is already narrowing. But he had a comfortable lead at this point. But just take us through the USGA and the thought process here, Steve. There's been a lot of rule changes, as we know, and things that you can now do. Speed up the game, make it simpler, make it more fan-friendly, if you will, so that you and I and Frank can play, and we may not have the same intensity, we don't certainly, as the pros do, and maybe the rules don't have to be nearly as penalizing as they have been in the past. Well, go ahead.
Before Steve answers, I had the volume down on the golf and the volume up at that point in time watching NFL Channel. There's no penalty for that, though, correct? Or am I incorrect? There's no penalty.
There is a penalty. They charged.
There's a penalty.
I know they did, but I thought there was no penalty for that ball rolling back into the water on its own by nature.
Well, the listeners to SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, PGAtour.com, are the most knowledgeable listeners in golf. And a guy called in this morning to Mornings with Mar, and he said, you know what, if you're in what do they call it now? A penalty area. They don't call it.
Right.
It's all the same.
Yeah, penalty
if you're
area.
In a penalty
not
area,
a hazard.
This is one of the new rules changes. If you're in a penalty area and you're looking for your ball and you accidentally kick your ball, there's no penalty. You move it. There's no penalty. You just put it back. Mm-hmm. The listener said, you know what, this whole rule about once you put a ball and when should a ball be put back in play? Well, it's obvious. When you take a penalty shot, the ball is not in play. But when you drop the ball, like Ricky did, he dropped it twice. It was rolling back into the water, so he got to place it. According to the rules as they're written right now, that ball is in play. Well, the question is, should that ball, because it was out of play, should it not be back in play till it goes back in bounds like when you hit it? It should be that should be when that ball is back in play, is when you actually hit it back and play it. So it's just another example of aren't you glad the USGA has simplified the rules?
Oh, I'm so
That's what
thrilled.
I was saying. I'm so thrilled.
That's what I was saying. I mean, you're watching the broadcast, and Azinger's on there, and all the other announcers that are on there, Maltby, you know, guys that have 70 years of experience of playing and broadcasting and being around golf, they were confused. They were like, okay, is he hitting 7? Is he hitting 8? Where's he at in this hole? A, that should never, ever happen. I mean, it should be simple enough that we know what is taking place. Instead, everybody's got to get out a rule book. No other sport does that happen. You don't see a guy travel and everybody's going, oh, what's that mean? What's that? Does the other team get the ball? Who gets the ball? You know the rules of other sports and golf. And for him to get penalized, it was a full minute after he placed the ball because he walked way back up to the green and was standing up there looking at his shot. And he turns around and the ball on its own trickles back into the water and he has to get a guy over. And Ricky handled that very well, by the way, because I probably would have gone ballistic.
That was the most impressive part of the whole ordeal.
Yeah,
there.
Very
the back
calm.
Nine was it? Is how Ricky handled the pressure, how he handled the adversity. I mean, what a stud! I mean, I have a lot of respect, a lot more respect for Ricky Fowler. I wish he wouldn't have said, "I hope I don't have to win him like that anymore." You know what? Everyone expects it to be easy. The only guys that don't expect victories to be easy, you know who those are, Tim?
Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods.
Losers.
No, The military. The military. When they prepare for battle, they anticipate everything going wrong. Everything. They make auxiliary plans. They make plan B, plan C, plan D. They don't expect when they go into a battle that it's going to be easy. That's the fallacy of these guys in competition. Hey, you know what? I'm winning by four shots going into the last round. I think it should be easy for me to win this.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Ricky Fowler, being an ambassador for Farmers Insurance Group or Farmers Insurance, when I saw that happen and him standing there just staring at the ball as it's rolling down, it brought me back to the commercial where the guy with the sweater tied around his neck and the pretty little red sports car pulls up and all the birds are on the wire. And he looks up and he goes, "No, nah, I'm not parking it here." So he pulls it up a little bit, and then the concrete transport just dumps all the concrete in his car. That was like a Ricky Fowler moment to me right there.
Yeah.
I cracked up.
Everything went wrong, and yet Ricky hung in there. Brendan Grace suddenly had the lead, and it totally turned around, and Ricky knew that, what was going on, even though at the time on 11, when he was in the midst of his triple. And I remember, he got a triple and a double yesterday.
No one's ever won a tournament doing that. You know that.
I don't think anybody's ever done that before, right? Never. I mean, to do both of those things and still be able to pull it out is a testament. People keep waiting, and you reference it, Steve, waiting for the Ricky moment when this kind of breaks through and Ricky becomes who we all think he should be. In the meantime, he's kind of got a Freddie Couples thing going, doesn't he? He's never quite achieving what we all think his skill level is, and he's got to win a major, and he's got to win more tournaments and act like he cares more or whatever. Instead, he's having a great time. Freddie's come back, you know, now that he's gotten to be 60 years old, and said, "Yeah, maybe I think I do regret a little bit of that." Do you think at any point Ricky's going to regret the fact that maybe his personality was such, or his demeanor was such, that he's got a great life, he's flying jets, he's making ridiculous money, on and on, that he didn't focus, he didn't concentrate enough, he didn't maybe look back, he'll regret he doesn't have the career that maybe he could have had?
Well, I think all of them think that they're putting everything into it. All the players that I've talked to say, you know, hey, I'm working hard. No one works harder than me. The thing that they don't realize, it can be over in a blink of an eye. Your career as a golfer can be over in a blink of an eye. Brooks Koepka thought his career was over at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
His wrist was hurting. It was a chronic injury. I mean, it was something that, I mean, he didn't play the first third of the year. And, you know, and they start thinking, gosh, man, if I would have just bared down a little bit more, if I would have just created more urgency, if I would have prepared better, if I would have had a plan B, C, and D, maybe I could have done better. But you know what? It's there's great things about the all-exempt tour, but it doesn't really create a dominant player like the old tour did. When the guys would travel around on Mondays and try to qualify for the next event, very few guys were exempt for that next tournament. I mean, it created more urgency. They kept playing because they knew if they weren't playing, they would be out. So, I mean,
know somebody intimately. Again, we're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. Intimately, Anthony Kim what happened to him. When you talk about how quickly a really good career can go into the tubes and you never hear from him again. And Anthony's certainly not the only one. He's one that's kind of high profile. But you realize that things can go sour in a lot of different ways, and suddenly that the thing you take for granted isn't there anymore.
No, but, you know, with Anthony Kim, he was very aware where he was physically. Even when he was a young player, he would always say, you know, I don't think I'm going to be playing all that long. He said, my body is just not going to hold up. And he knew something that he wasn't letting on. And when he saw the handwriting on the wall, heck, he won in Houston, you know, what, 9 years ago, 10 years, when he was 23 years old, won some tournaments, was the rising star. He knew something was not right with his body. So he went out and he got a disability insurance policy. Now he's doing good. He'll never play competitive golf again.
Yeah, why?
You know what? He was planning for it.
Yeah.
He was planning, hey, you know what? I don't think I have that much longer. And if a lot of these younger players – I mean, Hank always talks about the PGA Tour turns over 50% of its players every 5 years. That's not a really good job security fact for these guys out there. You think, man, if in 5 years, if I can even just make it to the tour, In fact, I think you get fully vested after you played three consecutive years. You play X amount of tournaments. So the PGA Tour knows it's just like the NFL. You get fully vested in your retirement if you can make it a certain length. Well, they put that number up there because not many guys make it. You know, in the NFL, what's the average life expectancy of a linebacker?
Yeah, like 3 years or something.
I mean,
yeah.
Gosh darn, a running back. Yeah, I mean, it's a blink of an eye and it's done. So, you know, I'd hope Ricky learns from this. And I know Butch Harmon, he's going to be on Hank Haney Golf Radio tomorrow. He's going to talk to us about what he's working on with Ricky and with Dustin Johnson. But Butch is a tremendous inspirer of talent. You know, he's a guy. Tiger Woods said that Butch Harmon made him feel like he could do anything. And if you get, talk about sports psychologists, if you could hang around Butch Harmon, you'd do better. You know, so we're hoping to get some opinions and insights from him tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good to listen to. Hey, Frank, you know, the other part of that tournament, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, well, there's a couple other components. One, the funness of it, and we'll talk about that too, but the farewell, the fond farewell for Johnny Miller was a pretty big part of that tournament, and it was all over the weekends, and then, of course, the change in the chair, if you will, to go to Paul Azinger on Sunday after Johnny said all his goodbyes on Saturday, even had Jake sing a song for him and stuff. I don't know if you saw all that. They did a great job for it. Johnny Miller had his ups and downs as an announcer and his fans and his non-fans involved. Did you like Johnny Miller when you'd watch
a golf
tournament?
Absolutely loved him. He was very soft-spoken and just very articulate in 8 to 10 to 12 seconds, which is all you have basically in that booth, to talk about that last shot. And you know, that's the worst shot I've ever seen. He'll just call it like it is. I loved him. What got me is Johnny Miller, I believe, was a little anesthetized, it's easy for me to say, to his retirement because they've been talking about it for months and months. Yet when Roger Maltby went on camera and said his goodbyes from the course to Johnny in the booth, Roger's crying. Johnny has to push away from the table and wipe his eyes. That finally got me. That was very touching with Roger's farewell to Johnny on the air. So, and it was
Steve,
I was a little disappointed though, Steve and Tim, that Johnny wasn't there Sunday for all the stuff that went on. I mean, I would love to
have had something to say.
I really liked the way that they played it out, where they had, you know, let's let the tournament take the front billing, let it take the big stage for the finish. And, you know, I'm right with you there, Frank, that the Roger Maltby, the personal goodbye was stellar.
Yes.
I mean, it was, you know, the only thing, they let us behind the curtain a little bit. And I wish they wouldn't have done it because, you know, Johnny Miller's ballooned up in the last, you know, 15 years, haven't we all?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he's really ballooned up.
Especially Tim.
And they showed him between segments. Did you guys see this?
Yes.
What he eats up there in the booth?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that part.
He's got cans of Cheese Whiz, Tim. Cans of Cheese Whiz. He sticks the end of the can in his mouth, and he sprays Cheese Whiz into his mouth, and that's what he eats.
Like he's in a fraternity dare or something?
I did not need to see that. He couldn't even put it on a cracker.
I thought everybody did that.
He does that all the time. Like, that's a regular dietary thing for him?
That's
what he eats?
That's what he's known for out there. That's what he does.
Well, oh, my God.
Man. I can do it in the privacy of his own kitchen or den.
I will say this. The Maltby thing was emotional. It was also kind of funny in the sense of Maltby's reference was they started together. They were junior golfers together, knew each other pretty well in California and junior golf. And when Maltby gets on the tour, he makes a cut in his first two events, which just happened to coincide with Johnny in one of his hottest streaks of his career. And Roger said, so I make two cuts, and I'm thinking I'm pretty good, right? Like, hey, look at this. I'm not even missing cuts. I'm right out new on the tour. And he said, and Miller beat me by 45 shots in two tournaments.
That was crazy.
He said, I'm not that good. I kind of thought I was good, but I was not that good. Johnny Miller was a great golfer for his window that he had there. Great, great golfer. And I'm with you, Frank. I do appreciate the honesty. A lot of golfers, as you remember, had a lot of criticism for Johnny through the years of his announcing, and that's almost everybody from Phil and Tiger, because the word would get back to him that Johnny said this about him or that about him. And I always appreciated that Johnny was like, hey, sorry, but that's what I get paid for. I'm not here to be your friend. By the way, I'm not your friend. You know, I mean, we're buddies, or we're co-pro golfers, but, you know, I'm 50. You guys are 25. We don't hang out. So I'm doing what I have to do for my job. And I think it finally sunk in that the guys respected that. They respected that if you did something well and got a compliment for Johnny, it was almost like from your dad sometimes, if you had a hard dad, it meant a lot, because you didn't get a lot of compliments. And when Johnny finally said, that was a great shot, or that was a great effort, it meant a lot, because you knew he would also come at you the other way too. So, yeah, I never had a problem. I mean, thin-skinned guys, yeah, I think, would. But I always thought Johnny did a pretty honest job.
But you know what? News break for you guys. Paul Azinger will do a much better job than Johnny Miller did. Miller was always sour grapes. I mean, he hated Tiger. He was sour grapes a lot. He was condescending. I mean, he was a guy. David Duval could have been the next Johnny Miller, but he just wouldn't go there with the critical analysis. Paul Azinger will go there. In his first day on the broadcast, Paul Azinger did a heck of a job, man. Look at what he was given to work with. He could have sugarcoated and gushed over everything that was happening, but I'm telling you what, man, he is going to be good. I'm going to enjoy Paul Azinger, I think, much more than I enjoyed Johnny Miller.
Okay. And by the way, Azinger, and this is weird because I didn't really understand how this all played out, will still do major events on Fox.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
While he's the main guy on NBC, how networks, I mean,
contract,
I've been on TV
for
a long
baby.
Time. It never would happen in the past, where you would never get Bob Costas to go from one network and another at the same time. They would forbid totally you doing that. And now that they let him cross over, it's not that unusual. It blows me away.
Newsflash. Bob Costas is gone. He's gone.
Yeah, I know.
He's out.
I know.
Gone.
That's
Don't bring
flash.
His name up again. Yeah. He is written out of the books of history.
Wow.
Gone.
So it's just very bizarre. But he will still, Azinger will still do whatever it is, the Women's U.S. Open, the Men's U.S. Open for Fox, while he's doing the NBC stuff.
You sound a little bitter about that, Tim.
It's just weird to me. That's all I'm saying. It's because the network at NBC is going to say, we put a lot of money into promoting you, Paul, on our network, and then you take that publicity and all that, and you take it over to another network. It just is weird. So I'm saying, I'm fine. If he's doing it and he gets paid to do it, it's just a
bunch of good lawyers, obviously.
So, yeah, I guess so. Again, we're talking with Steve Johnson and about a few different things and Ricky Fowler and Johnny Miller. The rule was what it was, and we'll go back to what I was saying there. They still need to tweak these rules, though, don't they, Steve? I mean, the one where Ricky, the ball went back in. He did get penalized one when he called over rules official, asked him. He said, yeah, it's a one-shot penalty. Nobody touched the ball. It just on its own sat still for a minute, then decided to roll. It was on a severe bank. They still, you feel that way, Steve? They still need to tweak these a little bit and figure out exactly. Yeah. If that happened in a major or something, you can imagine the uproar that would have caused.
Oh, it will. It will. Don't worry. The thing is, though, the PGA Tour came out with a statement, Tim, on Saturday, that they are no longer the rule about caddies lining up players. They're going to discontinue that rule till they can discuss it further, because it's obvious the officials are not they don't know how to call the rule. They don't know how to call it. I was very surprised at Gary Koch on the broadcast on Saturday when he was showing the viewers what Denny McCarthy had done. And I'm watching it as he's doing it. He made a drop. He hit it in the water. He made a drop. Now he's standing next to the ball. He's making practice swings, and his caddy is standing behind him, and they're discussing whatever they do discuss. The caddy moves out of the way. Then Denny McCarthy goes back behind the ball, holds his club up to get his alignment. Then he takes a stance. He takes a shot. Well, that's clearly his caddy did not line him up. But Gary Koch says, hey, it's clear that he lined him up. And he was like, I'm not sure if the broadcasters are in cahoots with the USGA, or are they under some type of gag order where they say, hey, you know, we got to really be supportive of these guys because they're under a lot of heat. But it was clear that Denny McCarthy did not get lined up.
Too subjective. Yeah. Now, Denny McCarthy could have said, okay, your aim point is X. Now he steps out of the way. So then he gets behind it but the rules officials don't know that he did that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they saw it on the video. They said upon further review of the video, I mean, they saw the videos how they penalized him. And in fact, Justin Thomas and his caddy Jimmy Johnson, they were mentioned in the statement. There was some question about Jimmy Johnson standing behind Justin Thomas on a chip shot on hole number 13.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ricky Fowler came out in his press conference, and so did Justin Thomas, said that that rule is absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – I mean, how much
– Is it illegal for – because you hear the caddies oftentimes say when they're standing behind a guy hitting a shot from the fairway and they give an aim point. You see the tower? You see that flagpole on the right side of whatever? Is that illegal now? Can you not do that when you're
before the guy hits the ball? I'm not sure. We'll have to get clarification. But what they were trying to prevent was what happens on the LPGA Tour almost every shot where the caddy is standing behind the player. Until the player lines up, yeah, okay, a little bit more to the left, a little bit more to the right, a little bit, okay, you're right on, you're dead on alignment. Then he steps out of the way, or she steps out of the way, and the player hits. That's what they were trying to avoid. But if they wrote into the rule, once the player takes his address position, there's a definition of address when you ground the club behind the ball. That's the address position.
But they didn't say that. But Steve, okay, I'm set up. I address the ball, then I step away, and then come back to it again for a second or third look.
Right.
You know, how do you differentiate at that point?
Well, I mean, once a person resets and gets out of that alignment, then they're lining themselves up.
Yeah.
They've got information from their caddy, but they're taking it on themselves to line themselves up. So, I mean, it's just another example of a rule that was ill-conceived. You know, the flag stick in, USGA says, man, we never realized that it could be an advantage. Were you kidding me?
Clearly an advantage, period.
So, we'll talk about it today. And, you know, guys, we didn't get a chance to talk about the Super Bowl, but you're going to have to excuse me because I pulled some strings with Hank. And I got in. I've got to make an appointment here pretty soon. I've got an appointment with Adam Levine's tattoo artist here pretty soon, so I got to get going.
Well, he took his shirt off. Now there's a double standard here. Super Bowl.
They look just like.
It was a wardrobe malfunction, is what it was.
It was an ink out. Do you really need to leave, Steve? No.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay. Good. Because I did want to get.
Because
I know you
got
to leave here in a few minutes.
It was a great half.
Yeah, you did
know.
I was going to say that you did. You do know Adam Levine, right? You worked with him a little bit because Hank had him on the show, right?
Right.
How was he?
Right.
How did you like him? Was he tough? I know you did tell me he throws some F-bombs out there, right?
Yeah,
I know
he's very tough on himself. You can see what the guy is. He's definitely an athlete. He's not necessarily a golfer yet, but he's getting better. He's getting a lot better. He's fixing his slice. But he is he's a professional in every. He's a great musician. He's a great singer. He's a great entertainer. I mean, the only thing, I don't know about the selection of, okay, I've got a jacket on. I'm taking my jacket off. Now I'm taking my shirt off. Now I'm taking my tank top off. The only thing he didn't do was get down to a G string and have those girls put dollars in it.
Well, most of his tunes are in E or D. Yeah.
It might have been coming. Yeah.
You knew that was coming.
That's crazy. I mean, you've got him down, stripping down to nothing. And you got that other guy singing with, looks like he's up in North Dakota.
Fur coat. Big boy. Yeah,
hey,
I know.
Hey, let's go easy on musicians, okay? I'm sensitive to that, please.
We're picking them. We're picking them.
Are you going to name drop some musicians you know, Frank?
I know a lot of them. Trust me. I'm one of them. Come on. I'm going to name drop me.
Hey, we're talking with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. And Steve, what about the coaching part of the Super Bowl? Final score, obviously. Indicative of being a pretty boring game, 13-3, the final lowest scoring ever, 3-3 at halftime. It was hard to get excited about watching this game. But
you know,
I got to ask you about Sean McVay. People, no,
I love Sean McVay. I love Bill Belichick. You know, the team that they have, the team coaching staff that both of those guys have compiled, and whether it was the general manager or the coach that made the final decision on his coaching team. I mean, those guys did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, it was boring, but yet it was exciting, Tim, because you know what? It got down up until about 3 minutes left. It was a one play game. I mean, it was a game that you thought, okay, it's 3-0. What's going to happen? You know, I mean, anything could have happened. And so it was like a hockey game in the fact that the defense was great. You know that guy that we better check that guy's leg on the kicker for the
Rams.
That guy can boot that thing.
That was his longest, wasn't it, of the season? Was that not his longest?
Yarder or something like that. Man, he's
no, he hit one. Remember, he hit one in to win a playoff game. 57
oh,
yards.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That ball was overinflated.
He's strong.
Yeah.
Let's get into that one. Pretty cool. But you don't think that there's criticism about Sean McVay and getting outcoached, Steve, in this job, in this game, because they only scored 3 points, 30 below their season average. They've never scored less than 2 touchdowns in a game. They average 3 to 4 touchdowns every game, couldn't even get into the end zone or the red zone even. So
okay,
you don't think that he...
How many points does New England usually score?
Yeah.
It was just a great defensive coach game. Give Wade Phillips some credit. He was a guy that was run out of Dallas. You know, he's bitter about
as a head
that
coach.
Too.
You
got to say a lot.
He's
about
always been
Tom
good
Brady,
coordinator. Not necessarily a head coach, but a coordinator. I think everybody gives Wade Phillips a lot of credit, and did
Tom
here in
Brady
Dallas too.
Can
it's just the head coaching thing.
Yeah, Tom Brady can pick apart defenses, and he didn't pick that defense apart.
That defense rushed him. That defense was tough, and they kept him off his. He could not step into probably 80% of his passes. He could not step into. That's why he kept dumping them in the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would say this too, if you guys remember on that last drive that the Rams had before they threw the interception in that drive, a couple of plays before, a guy dropped a ball in. That would have been a touchdown. The guy dropped it.
Yeah.
He went back and looked at it. He was covered very well, but it went right through his arm. So had that, you know, it's games, right? Inches and things that happen here and there. But overall, Steve, you were entertained. You liked the game. You watched, despite the fact there's not much scoring.
I didn't like the fact that I had to go pick up my wife in the fourth quarter.
I wouldn't like that.
Other than that, you know, I mean, she was,
Uber,
she was coming home.
Steve,
she
Uber.
Was coming, hey. No.
We're cutting this clip out and going to replay it for her. There you go.
So anyway, I mean, we all make little sacrifices, but hey, you know what? I really am gonna need to go because I'm on the air in about 3 minutes.
We'll be listening.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks.
Frank, next time you need to break down all your musician friends so we can rate them.
Most of them are dead.
Okay, well that's okay. We
start with Henry Mancini.
No, I was not a friend of Henry Mancini. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate
all
your time.
Thanks,
we do. Have a good show today.
Hello. See you.
All right. Take care. Steve Johnson with soon to be on the air with Hank Haney Radio.
I'm going
to
call in today.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Al Green. This is Reverend Al Green. No.
Yeah. I hear you don't like musicians.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? We had, this was neat. We had a baked potato bar at our party. One of the things we had. It was so much food, it's ridiculous. But we had a baked potato bar. And the toppings for a baked potato bar, you cannot imagine.
Sounds like you took advantage of that.
I did. I mean, my physical today, he's going to pronounce me dead.
he's
ridiculous.
He's going to pronounce you cooked.
Overeaten or whatever.
Yeah, like a
But it was,
potato.
You know, going back to the defense of the Rams, New England did a good job on offense, trying to just handle them. But they kept Brady out. He didn't get into his game. I mean, he could not step into his passes.
No, yeah, you got to give him that because Brady almost acted like he was the young new quarterback because as much as Goff wasn't moving the ball and the Rams weren't moving the ball, I thought that played perfectly into the Patriots and it would have been like a 21-0 halftime lead because Brady would have just torn him apart. Instead, you know, his numbers were very pedestrian, if you will, for him: 21 of 35, 262 yards. Not a lot different than between he and Goff, and I kind of would have thought that his numbers would have been a lot better. But yeah, the defense for the Rams, very good in doing what they needed to, and at the same time, Brady's Brady, you know. And we talked to Art Sellinger, remember last week?
Oh,
he was going to Vegas, and Art's input was, you know, you can't beat the GOAT, and they're not the end of the dynasty isn't there until you kind of see that it is, and apparently it's not there.
It is.
The Patriots just keep rolling, and Brady says he's coming back. Gronk may not come back. He's wondering if he should be, you know, on the sidelines. He's had his body torn up a lot, so Gronk may not be part of it. But you know what? They move on without guys every year, and new guys come in. And Belichick and Brady stay, and as long as BB is there, then it seems like they're favored again. I think, Frank, I saw that Vegas came out with the odds for next year already. Why wouldn't they? and New England already is the favorite to win another Super Bowl.
How could
next
they not
year.
Be? How could they not be? With the Brady Belichick, you know, double the B&B.
Yeah, never ends.
Well, you know, the prop bets, though. There was a controversy in the first 3 minutes of the game, right after the national anthem was by Gladys Knight, which was incredible. Yeah. What a great job. And those two young ladies that did America the Beautiful, did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Unbelievable. Go back and look at that. I mean, you know me, I have an affinity for music and musicians.
Yeah.
But unbelievable stuff. But the over and under for the time, how many, you know, 1.49 or 1.51 seconds for the national anthem? Well, because she said, and home of the brave, and then she paused and went, the brave again. Did it end at brave or end at the end of the brave?
Oh, really?
Because she changed it. Yeah, so there's a huge millions of dollars passing hands controversy.
Really?
Here.
Yeah.
That Vegas is having a hissy fit.
I didn't see that. And so I've always wondered
Art. Call Art and see. He might have bet that.
Art bets all those props, not all of them, but a lot of those props. And so, yeah, whether that would have been one or not, it's the over-under on that. It's the color of dress she wears, song Adam Levine opens, all those things are open for betting. And, yeah, I don't know how Art – I do know that he – because we were texting during the game, he did put a few dollars on the under, the over-under, which was very smart.
That was smart.
He must have been feeling great the entire game because, 3-0 at halftime.
What if we'd bar some
The over-under was 56.
Art.
I'm like, holy smokes.
Loan me a couple of hundred thousand on my jumbo CD rolls over.
I don't know how much he put on that, but he cleaned up on the under.
Hey, going back to Steve, of course, and Steve and Hank working with Adam Levine, he said, you know, he drops a lot of F-bombs. Well, I was on the road with bands for years. Steve, we need to put Steve backstage at a couple of concerts just to see what really goes on. Surely he's gone to a Levine concert, a Maroon 5 concert.
I don't know. I don't know if he has or not. Yeah. I know that he obviously got to know him a little bit doing that. And I even remember when Hank was doing I can't remember the show.
The Haney Project.
And work with Adam. There were a lot of bleeps in there while they were on camera working on this and this and that, whatever. And every time he'd miss a shot, they'd have to bleep
come,
it. So
come to Nashville, Steve, and just spend one evening on Broadway.
Steve's been around enough golfers. He knows a few cussing people here and there. So it's not like he's.
I never curse on the golf course.
But no, nobody does. Nobody ever does.
I curse in the hitting bay. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I curse in the parking lot.
You've heard me at Dallas Golf.
Knowing what it's going to be like. Hey, by the way, and I know we always thank our sponsors, the people at Club Corp, and probably at your club too, but Prestonwood here, and all the great Club Corps had a really good Super Bowl event around the Super Bowl. So people that here in Dallas, but other courses all over the country, I'm sure Club Corp did it too. They do a great job with that. Just a huge thing for people to come, and you can. They set up this whole party atmosphere on the 19th hole or wherever it was for people to watch, and they've got, you know, 15 different flat screens. So really, really neat. But that's just one of the many things that Club Corp does extremely well. So if you're fortunate enough to be a member, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, then you can check them out at clubcorp.com and pick out a club, see what they're doing. They'll let you try it out for a day and see which course in your neighborhood and your area that you really like, and I think you'll be thrilled to death with all the wonderful things that people at Club Corp do.
Yeah, we just got a call on the other phone before we get out of here. We've got about 5 or 6 or 7 more minutes, don't we?
You think? Why?
Because someone who just called me, we need to bring into the show, and you know who
that's
that
is. That's a little cryptic.
I know it is.
No, I don't know. Is it Bogey? Bogey's already been on the
show. Bogey's been on the show. He started the show, and you said it right in the intro. You went, Bogey. So we're going to call this guy cold, and here we go.
Okay.
And let's hope he answers.
Everybody thinks this is planned. I have no idea who
he's
talking to.
You know who it is. You'll know the second he answers. Yeah. One ring, two rings. Okay, come on. Okay.
Hello.
Be good, because you're on the air live right now, Mr. Sweeney from the French Lick Resort. How was the Super Bowl, pal?
Oh, hey, I tell you what, number 75 for your New England Patriots, Mr. Teddy Karras, is my cousin's son. So
knew
we're
that,
celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
University of Illinois product from Cathedral High School in Indianapolis.
There you go. Tim, did you know that?
Good for, I did not know that. No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to bring Brendan
Sweeney
in.
From the French Lick Resort. There he is. Yeah. I didn't know who we were calling. Frank just said, I've got to call somebody. I go, nope, okay, let's call somebody. I thought it was like he had to tell his launderer. His tailor, he wouldn't be in early enough or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I told my bookie. I had my wife call my bookie and tell her that I died.
I got to pay him off.
Yeah. My husband's some hot shot.
Where did you watch the game, Brendan?
Right here in the comforts of the 719 Cafe downtown Orlando.
Okay. Okay.
It was good. Good
Were
show.
You surprised by it at all?
You know, the Adam Levine, that sort of got the motor running a little bit around the household with all the ladies. I just cracked another beer and left.
Because they were thinking that you and Adam Levine are almost twins when he took his shirt off, right?
God.
So depressing.
Yeah,
why does he have to do that to us?
He's got a lot of paint, though, man.
He does, doesn't he?
Stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's our generation is...
I'm not a paint person. I'm not a tattoo person at all.
So. And he's got it all over him. If you watch The Voice, which he's on weekly, he wears enough T-shirts or a short sleeve shirt. You know he's all the way up his arms, so you can see that part. You don't see as much as we saw last night during the game. Well, but yeah, he is tatted up.
Got a lot of free time on the road.
A fine spokesperson for the state of California.
Oh, there you go.
Who did you were going for the Patriots because of your loyalties?
Yeah,
I assume for the
absolutely.
Game. Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm a Bears fan at heart, but once you got the family involved, I'm really happy and proud of the Karras family. He's actually Alex Karras' great nephew.
Oh, really?
And his dad Ted played nose guard at Northwestern back in the '80s, and during the scab year, he was picked up by the Washington Redskins. So Ted
really?
Played for the scab team. He's got a Super Bowl ring. His dad's got a championship ring, Ted's dad, from the Chicago Bears back in 1964. And now Teddy's got his third ring. So,
wow.
Three generations.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are just happy to have been around Tom Brady. We hear about the same names, you know, Edelman and Gronk and all these. But there's a lot of guys that come in and out of that franchise over the last 18 years that – have great stories and owe a lot to Tom Brady just to have a ring, to have gone to Super Bowls, to do all the things, even as marginal players or guys on the bench or whatever. They'll live the rest of their life talking about playing with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and whatever. So I think it's kind of special. I have no problem. I was pulling for the Patriots. Everybody at my party that I was at was pulling for the Rams, not because people here in Dallas like the Rams at all, to be honest. It's just everybody, there's just this sentiment about enough is enough is enough with the Patriots. All right, already, all right. And I'm going, hey, don't we strive for excellence and greatness and all this stuff? And as soon as somebody becomes that, we're like, oh, okay, that's enough of that. I don't remember that happening with Jordan. It seems like there's a lot of people on the Bulls bandwagon and love seeing Jordan win and win and win. So why they hate the guys for winning all the time. I don't know. I don't get it. I think, you know what? They're great. He is the greatest. Belichick's are not phenomenal. I have no problem with cheering for those guys. I had to keep it down, though, because I kept getting stared at every time I'd clap my hands when they'd complete a pass.
I think it's because he went to Michigan.
And went in the NFL draft in, what, the sixth round, I believe?
Sixth round.
Yes, it
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He had 198 guys go before him. That, you know, find out who those guys are, right? What happened to those guys? And Tom Brady's on his way to the Hall of Fame. He could lap the Hall of Fame if he wanted to. By the way, commercials. How about that one commercial that celebrated the NFL 100-year with all these great players at the party and catching a ball and Franco catching one off his shoe tips? That was a great commercial.
How did they get all those guys together to do that?
I don't know.
That's incredible how they did
know.
That thing. That was really neat.
Emmett was there. Barry Sanders.
Everybody.
Bradshaw. And they had Brady in there. That's what made me think about it. Edelman and Brady were there, and the game was going on, and he was trying to get in. And Edelman goes, you got to get in there, throw the ball. And Brady goes, hold these for me. And he had five rings on all his fingers that he had to give to Edelman to hold before he could throw the football.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Hey,
yeah.
by the way, Brendan, I know you watched some golf yesterday, too. We wanted to get your read very quickly in the last couple of minutes we have here on Ricky Fowler's meltdown and subsequent bad ball placement. I mean, he placed it perfectly, but it just decides to run away and run into the water hazard for a second time, and then eventually winning the tournament. What do you think about that?
I thought he fought through hard. I thought Brendan Grace, you know, he was cooking along pretty well, and he smoked one in the water on 18, and then opened up the door for Ricky to come back. But with that ruling, we're watching it here, and all of a sudden it's like, he's got an 8. All of a sudden they drop it down to a 7 because he didn't address the ball. There was no penalty stroke. It was just a, or no stroke because he didn't address the ball. But Yeah, it's tough. It's the new rules. Slugger White did well explaining the infraction, and it is what it is. But it really shows the perseverance of Ricky Fowler. And I thought he did a great job and well-deserved victory, long overdue. And hopefully it opens up some doors for him this year, and he could bring back a couple more victories. But I thought the big story of the week was Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
Have you seen the video of him on the green dragging his feet?
No, I did not.
I've not seen that. I've just seen the bunker. You saw the bunker tantrum, right?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it, but yeah. I read about it.
It was pretty bad.
Just have some class. I mean, I think this may cost him his right to be a Ryder Cup captain. I think it's that severe. And for someone of his stature to pull stuff like this in a new tournament,
yeah,
in a country of, you know, show some class, dude. That's what it's all about. So.
I think, and what I've been reading about this, and again, I don't know anybody yet that's seen video of the green thing, but what I've read says that he actually got turned in by other players because he was dragging his feet and beating up greens on a handful of greens.
Yeah,
so it wasn't a one-time blew a gasket because he missed a putt or did something else. And he apparently was just having a complete meltdown, not like Ricky's. Ricky's mentally was fine. It's just the meltdown was things almost out of his control. Sergio seemed like he was having a physical, mental breakdown that he couldn't control himself for several holes. He was tearing up greens or affecting greens. So the guys would come and go, what happened to this green? And somebody, I'm sure, would go, oh, that was Sergio.
Well,
and it happened again and again and again. They finally turned him in, and that's what got him disqualified.
He's getting a new caddy, though. Did you hear?
No.
Dr. Phil's going to be on his bag in the next tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Something has to happen.
Come on. Brendan?
Yeah.
All out meltdown, classless act by a major champion.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to be the topic of the at Augusta National, the press room when they're in. I bet that comes up multiple times.
Oh gosh, you know that's going to be. We'll be there, so that's going to be crazy. So,
I think if something like that, Frank, if something like that were to happen at Augusta, Augusta would ban him for life,
probably, and they have the right to.
The bunker thing, as well as the greens and a continual disrespect for the game, for the golf course. I think if that would happen, yeah. And maybe even other tournaments, not just Augusta, they might have said, you're not welcome back here ever to play in this tournament. So I think, Brendan, in your case, maybe you're right. That might haunt him for more than just, you know, talk radio for the next week.
I agree.
Yeah, well, there's talk of a banishment. So who knows? We'll see how that all shakes out. So, Brendan, we just spent a great 10 days together, PGA show, GWAA tournament weekend, had a good time, a lot of rain, a lot of wind, a lot of cold. You played really well in the GWAA tournament too, by the way. Congratulations on your round.
Yeah.
It was good. That's the best round I've seen you play ever. It was fabulous.
Yeah. I think I need those British Open conditions to play well.
It was brutal, wasn't it?
I was striping it. It was good.
Yeah, you were killing it. Hey, what's happening at French Lick? Tell us about it.
Well, with the passing of the first Alice. Lady of golf, Alice Dye, we have a heavy heart around the facility. Mrs. Dye was awesome. She was fun to be with. An iron fist with a velvet glove. She was she was cool. She was neat person to be around, and, you know, first name basis. And I just remember when we opened up the Dye course back in 2009, we had a big press conference, had a bunch of the club pro champions there. And Bob Denny from the PGA of America was sitting at the podium with the governor, and there's probably about eight people lined up on the tables. And Pete was late, and Alice was like, where's Pete? Where's Pete? And Pete came in with his dog, 60. The dog is just soaking wet, just full of blood.
I was there, yeah.
And proceeds to go behind the podium, just brushes up against Bob Denny, and he just... his jaw nearly hit the floor. Like, what the hell is going on here? And Alice was like, oh, I'll take care of that. And she was like rubbing him down with a handkerchief.
Yeah.
Just funny as hell. So, yeah, she was great. And I was just talking to my wife this morning. When the Dyes, you know, built the golf course at the resort, they did over 120 trips up there. It was a hands-on thing. And the whole staff, they're almost like, you know, your grandparents are here, and they were kind to everybody. And poor Pete's got Alzheimer's. He probably has no idea what's going on. But their anniversary was Saturday. She passed away on Friday.
Yeah.
But, you know, the family's great. I'm not sure what the arrangements are. Everybody's sort of scrambling around, but they touch a lot of people in golf. And as time goes on, you know, their legacy will continue to
grow. Yeah.
To grow. And we're just happy to be part of it. And, you know, in the chapters of life, we're just glad we came across them. So God bless Alice Dye.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Well said, well said. We and by the way, thank you, my friend, for being such a great sponsor, the French Lick Resort, of this show. We really appreciate
that's
your loyalty.
That's the reason why I called you this morning. I need your invoice.
Oh. Oh, we've got one.
I'll send you an invoice.
Yeah, I'll send you an invoice. So, yeah, doing our billing. So
that, good.
That's why I called.
Yeah, right. Those stay-and-play packages are a wonderful thing.
Yeah, they are.
All right, pal. Hey, listen, sorry to bug you in the middle, but saw you call me on the other line, so I'll call you back when we get through, and we'll catch up for the next coming weeks and where we're going to be and what we're going to do.
All right. Hey, Tim, good talking to you, buddy.
You too, Brendan. Take care.
All right,
have a good
pal.
New year. All right.
See you, Brendan.
Talk to you soon. Brendan Sweeney.
French Lick
with
Resort.
The French Lick Resort.
Yeah.
French Lick, Indiana.
Those, let me tell you, every year he gives me several stay and play packages that we donate to, and they're worth a lot of money. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say that on the air because the IRS may invoice me for or bill me for it. But
but
we donate them to different charities here in Nashville and other places that we do the show. And I use one of them myself.
Sure.
So it's a great place. If you haven't been to the French Lick Resort, folks, go. You got to go.
Yeah.
So it's Pete Dye course, Don Ross course, Tom Bendelow course. I mean, two Hall of Fame golf course designers, and should be three. Bendelow should be in also.
And surprising terrain. Again, we talk about that all the time. People think Indiana, was it a cornfield with a golf course? No. I mean, it's southern Indiana. It's in the Hoosier National Forest. It's beautiful terrain. Not the highest points in Indiana, right? So can't say it's mountains, but it's very hilly, very, very pretty terrain that these golf courses, that whole resort is in. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely worth going. Worth checking it out.
Well, all right, buddy.
We're done.
It's been a good show. I'm ready to go rewatch the Super Bowl. It was so exciting.
You're ready to go to the doctor. Yeah.
Oh, God. Physical. Here we go.
Yeah, just put an asterisk next to this checkup. Yeah. This was a post-Super Bowl checkup, Doc. Yeah,
exactly.
Mark it for next year, so. Hey, we appreciate everybody for listening. As always, you guys are the greatest. And we certainly thank our two guests today, Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf, and, of course, Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resort, and our sponsors, French Lick Resort and Club Corp. Again, check them out, clubcorp.com. They're the best. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for listening, everybody. And please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.